So thankful to be with you. So thankful that you're joining us at home. If you would, we're going to continue our study, Matthew chapter 5. So be turning your Bibles there for us this evening. Again, I mentioned to you that Matthew 5, 13, 14 through 16 are all typically preached together and not broken up. And I see a lot of value in that, but I really wanted to slow down and really walk through this part of the text before we jump to verses 17 through 20 for next time. So let's read together verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So after giving the Beatitudes, which describe our characteristics that we are to have to those who belong in the kingdom. So if you're a disciple, a follower of Jesus, then the Beatitudes are the virtues and the attributes that we're to acquire. Jesus is giving us our identity, and we need to understand that if we possess the Beatitudes and we possess these characteristics, then we are the salt of the earth. That's how he left off last time. So he said, you are the salt. You have an influence on people for Jesus. And remember, we discussed our influence this morning. And so I encourage you to go back and listen to that lesson if it's online. And please just review that. We are to influence in a way that brings grace and salt to any given situation. We must consider our words and actions to determine if we are glorifying God or the world. In essence, who do we love more? Do we love this life and this world more than we love heaven and God? Well, it's going to show in our speech and in our conduct. Now Jesus gives us another picture of our identity. And again, the way the Greek construction is, he's not saying to be the light of the world, or he's saying, hey, it would be a good idea if you were the light. He's saying, you are the light of the world. In other words, you and you alone are the light of the world. There is no one else. You alone who are disciples, Christians, those who take on the Beatitudes, you are the salt of the earth. No one else is. You are the light of the world. So that's going to be part of our first point. I want you to remember three things. Just that simple part I mentioned to you. You alone are the light of the world. And then two questions. The how and the why. That's it. You alone are the light of the world. Again, you are the salt of the earth. But then the two questions. The how and the why. And that's going to be our short and simple lesson for tonight. So what is the aspect of light that Jesus focuses upon? Let's look at verse 14 and 15 again. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. So what Jesus is teaching us is that if you are the light of the world, you're a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a stand. And the point is that light gives light to all that is in the house. When you turn a light switch on, how pointless would that light be as if you turned on the light and then you went and covered the light? It'd be useless. When I was a kid, and I don't know what my sister and her friend were doing, but they decided to take one of my t-shirts and put it over our lamp we had downstairs. And when they did that, it set my favorite shirt on fire and burned a hole straight through it because they were trying to cover up that light. Instead of just turning the light off, they decided to use my favorite t-shirt as a kid and cover it up. Again, if you do that, what's the point of the light? Why would you try to cover it up? And that's the point that Jesus is trying to get across to us. No one turns on the light and then goes to cover up that light that they just turned on. It would be useless. So what does it mean that we are called the light of the world? What does the light represent? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 8 and verse 12. This is the two points that Jesus mentions. So two verses I want to give you, John 8 and 12 and Psalm 119, 105. So John 8, 12, Jesus is going to say that he's going to call himself the light of the world. And it says this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So notice that the concept of light is being able to have life. In the scriptures, light is always that which gives life. It is God and his light and his word providing direction for us and guidance. Without God's word, without God's light, we have no life. And John frequently uses the word life in reference to eternal life, but this eternal life is lived out now. It's taken now, but it's received later on. Again, what we mentioned in our study of Titus. But Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So we see Jesus calling himself the light of the world, and David declaring that God's word is a lamp and light tells us that God's word, the light, is supposed to shine in the darkness so that people can see the way to live their lives. The light is to shine so that people can have direction because the world is full of darkness. Look at John chapter 1 now. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. John 1, 4 through 9. In him was life. Who's him? Jesus. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that's Jesus, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Jesus gives light, he gives life. That's the point that John is trying to make to us. Light shows the way. It shows, it illuminates the path. It provides direction for us in a dark world. So we need to keep this in mind as we move through this lesson on being the light of the world. We as Christians are now that light of the world. We are the ones who are to illuminate that path, show the way to God, show the direction to the world. Jesus is the light, and now we are to take that role upon ourselves in following his light. Exactly what David pointed out to us. And just as Jesus warned, the salt is useless if it loses its flavor. So again, a quick summary of that. Something I didn't mention, but you can take it for what it's worth now. Salt, if it loses its influence, if it loses its flavor. First impressions are extremely important. When we meet people, when people see us out in our communities, it's important that we leave a good impression with them. So our conduct is always to be reflective of God's light. It's always to have a flavorful taste to it. It's to look good. And that's, you know, I'm not putting too much pressure on us because That can be a tall task, but that's what God requires of us. Be the light of the world in this dark. The world is dark enough, isn't it? The world has enough troubles. So Jesus says, he warns us, if you're losing your influence, if you're not that light, and you're not shining as that light, then what use are you? You're in darkness. You're just like the world. You look and you sound just like everyone else. So that brings us to our first point, the how. That's the question. How are we supposed to shine as lights in this world? Again, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he tells us this is how we are supposed to shine in this dark world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That is answering the question, how? Jesus describes our light as shining before people, seeing our good works, and we're not doing these things so that we're glorified. We do good works and we shine our light so that God is glorified. And again, we pointed out that that needs to happen verbally and from our actions. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. We're going to cover a few verses here. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. So we're answering that question, how do we shine as lights? We want others to see our good works. They want us. We want them to see our conduct and our behavior. Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How? Verse 16. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. But again, our point is, we shine as lights in this crooked and perverse world. How? We hold forth the word of life before people. So we're holding forth the word of life as a means of shining as lights. Now, look at the connection that Peter makes in 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Verses 11 and 12, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. What we often look for in the scriptures is purpose statements. If you take all of the key words in the book of 1 Peter and you were to compile them, you would find all of or most of the key words in this one section of scripture. So in other words, Peter, in writing his letter to these Christians, this is the message he wants them to take away. Watch your conduct. Make sure that it's glorifying God. Remember, serve your purpose as proclaiming his marvelous light in this dark world. That's how we can glorify God. That's how we can be lights in this world. So we must try to have a pure life before people. We cannot live worldly. We cannot join in with worldliness. And this is exactly what the Apostle Peter, or Paul, now is trying to get across. As we turn to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, 6 through 16. Ephesians 5, 6 through 16. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then, here it is, that you walk wisely, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are dark or evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but we expose those works. How do we do that? We live differently. We live by the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Friends, that's why it's so important. This is what's beautiful about this whole section, or this whole topic and section of Scripture in Matthew 5. This is beautiful. The more you live by God's word, the more light you have, the more reflecting of Christ you are. The more that you meditate on the Scriptures and you internalize these things, and this is cool too, think about this. Every time you remove the distractions of the world and you read your Bible, you're lit up. This is the light. And when it's in here and in here, you're lit up. You are the light of the world. But when we live like the world, when we live under sinful behavior, what we're doing to that light is we're putting a basket over it. The world covers it up. Don't put my favorite shirt over the lamp. Don't cover up the light of Christ. Let it shine. Let it show forth. We cannot be a beacon of light for others when we are living like the world. Who do we love more? God or the world? It's going to show. As the darkness appears to grow in our culture, it is all the more important that we shine as lights, being distinctly different than the world. So that's the how. And now our final point, the why, which is pretty obvious from the text in Matthew 5:16, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We do not do good works because we are trying to make the world a better place. We do good works so that God is glorified. We shine so that people can see God working through us. This is what the rest of the Sermon on the Mount is going to describe. God glorifying works, true righteousness. The world doesn't see God. The world doesn't know God's word. It's up to us to show them it, to shine His light. We cannot live corrupt. We cannot live worldly lives. So let me just close with a few questions and then the lesson's yours for tonight. When the world looks at your marriage, does it see a God-glorifying marriage? When the world sees your family, does the world see a God-glorifying family? When the world sees your conduct, does the world see a God-glorifying servant? When the world sees you out, does it see you as the light? Church, today, my encouragement, my message to you, my exhortation, you alone are the light of the world, no one else. Please shine your lights. If you need any help tonight, if you need any assistance, please reach out to us. Please let your request be made known to us, and we will try to reach out and make contact with you.